Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan, for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey, John. Yeah, Steve, fan of your work. Cambodia has opened up, so I am here. And basically, I'm just enjoying it here and using this kind of as a staging point to for when Vietnam opens up. So Vietnam is my love, so... But this is about as close as I can get to that for right now. I've been to Cambodia several times, and it beats just hanging around in the U.S. waiting for things to change or open up. So I am just taking advantage of that, and look forward to meeting you one day. And yeah, keep up the good content.
Thank you so much, Steve. That is such, I don't know how to describe it. When I first heard that message that Steve left me on Instagram, I just got this feeling like the way it was before the pandemic, and just listening to how happy people were when they got here. They'd been looking forward to either a return or a first visit to somewhere here in Southeast Asia or across Southeast Asia, and it just the emotions were almost a little just overwhelming for me when I heard his voice and that message. And it's so nice to hear, you know, happiness and joy in somebody's voice when they're in a place where they really want to be. And you know, it's something that I have missed so much since the beginning of this pandemic. And I used to get lots of people message me, you know, that had come here either to Vietnam or Cambodia or wherever I was traveling, and, you know, mention the podcast and trying to get together somehow. And I did have a chance, you know, in Cambodia to meet a few podcast listeners, which was just wonderful. It's really always a joy to meet people in person and find out why they're interested in this part of the world and what draws them here and what chord, you know, struck inside them to either come here for the first time to initiate their first travel to either here or, you know, South Asia or East Asia. And, you know, I miss that. I really look forward to always hearing from people and maybe having a chance to get together. So, you know, hopefully those days are coming back soon. But with this new variant, which we'll talk about, and some of the new closures that might be delayed somewhat, but we'll see. But in this episode of the podcast, we'll just do another wrap of the region and talk about a few things. Of course, the obvious one being this Omicron and how that's affected travel to certain countries from especially South African countries, or people that have transited through any of those countries, 8 or 10 countries in South Africa, how that's affected them. And then we're going to take a walk back. Actually, we're going to stay in country for the revisit in this episode, and I'm going to do a walk around in 2019 in Saigon, in Ho Chi Minh City. Wow, listening to it, I've learned so much. This was just 2 months into my stay here, my long-term stay in Vietnam. So it's interesting for me on a personal note to hear, you know, some of my comments and how I've become much more accustomed to local culture and behaviors and things like that. So that's in this episode of the Far East Travels Podcast. One shout out for sure I want to give, and that's to John Kelly in Arizona. And I'm not sure if John or Dr. Kelly is going to be listening to this, but he's been a follower of my work for a number of years now. And it's so sad. I got news that he's going into a hospice this week. So we hope for the best for John. He's such a wonderful man and done a lot of great things in his community. And we wish him the best and hopefully you know, he'll be around and listening to more and more of these episodes and videos that he really enjoys watching. He's always enjoyed the videos that I've produced. So shout out to John Kelly. You're a great man, and we're thinking of you here in Vietnam, my friend. So I always thank everybody for their support and the messages and everything else. It's always encouraging to get that. Just a couple of ways you can support the Far East Travels Podcast. The links will be in the show notes. Patreons are always very much appreciated, with a monthly pledge being as little as a couple dollars, or, you know, whatever you can afford or whatever you feel you'd like to donate, or just one-off donations are really appreciated as well. And also, if you want to help grow the podcast and help others discover the Far East Travels Podcast, really simple thing to do. All you have to do is follow the link to Apple Podcasts. Make sure you're signed into your iTunes or Apple Podcasts account, and that'll take you to the Far East Travels Podcast page. And then just rate the podcast out of 5 stars, write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels Podcast. So again, we've got a interesting little walk around Ho Chi Minh City from 2 years ago. Just a couple of months after I landed here for my long-term life or stay in Vietnam. So we want to do this wrap-up of what's going on around. And, of course, this new variant of COVID-19 has had an effect, just like it has on most other countries in the world, of travel and restrictions here. So most all of the countries that have opened up to international travelers here in Southeast Asia have now closed their borders to approximately 8 to 10 South African countries. So we'll start with Thailand. And Thailand has, like everybody else, closed off their borders to those countries. So if you are from there, or if you had been there recently and then you were planning on going to Thailand, you better check with the Thailand Pass site to see if this has affected your travel plans. But Thailand has done this, even though there still has not been a case of the Omicron variant in Thailand. They've gone ahead with this restriction. Cambodia has taken similar actions, and Vietnam has done the same. 10 different African countries, and anyone who has recently visited or transited through any of these countries. So Vietnam, as I said, have taken similar measures, although their overall international travel restrictions are much more stringent than Cambodia and Thailand at the moment. For people entering Vietnam as a tourist, you must be on one of these package tours. That's the only way you can get a visa or get entrance into the country, is by joining one of these package group tours. Whereas with Thailand and Cambodia, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to worry about that at this point. Now, Vietnam eventually will probably be as unrestrictive as Cambodia and Thailand are, but they're not there yet. And then, you know, we don't talk about East Asia as often as we should, but South Korea had opened up recently to a lot of international travelers, has also banned anyone who's been to or coming from 8 countries from South Africa. All Korean nationals returning to the country as well from those African nations will need to be quarantined for 10 days at a government facility upon arrival. So they can't even quarantine at home. And they would be fully vaccinated, I believe, as well. And South Korea has a fairly high rate of vaccination. So pretty stringent rules for Korea. The other big news this week here in Southeast Asia, I mean, really big news. I mean, it's astonishing the infrastructure that is going up in some of these countries. And this week, the official grand opening of the Laos to China railway will take place. And you know, I always struggle saying Laos because I spent lots of time in Laos. And when you're there, everybody says Lao. Or at least that's how it sounds to us. So I always want to say it that way. But if I say it that way, most people don't know what I'm talking about. So I have to say Laos. So mostly people that have been to Laos or have visited, you'll know because they might call it Lao instead of Laos. But the actual proper pronunciation inside Laos is Lao. At least that's the way it sounds to us. So the new railway is expected to lower the cost of imported goods to Laos while attracting tourists. And it's amazing that they have, you know, something that is such a huge infrastructure project up. But I have seen, you know, all kinds of things that, you know, was unfathomable as far as the way the Chinese can put in highways and roads and things. And I'd been traveling in northern Laos several years ago. And the last leg of this trip up to Phongsali to do this trekking to see the Akha Hill Tribe people actually stay in their villages was an 8-hour drive on a paved road. But only a year previously, it was a dirt road. And I couldn't even imagine being on a bus on that dirt road for 8 hours, a windy dirt road. And here it was a year later, and they'd built this beautiful road. I wouldn't call it a highway, but certainly a road up to this town in northern Laos. So it's absolutely remarkable, you know, how fast stuff can go up here. So this new high-speed rail is getting ready. Now, the only problem is I just don't know who's going to be traveling on it other than maybe dignitaries and officials and maybe perhaps some business people from China, because China is not allowing, or at least they've asked their citizens, if they're actually able to travel outside of the country, not to travel right now because of their latest outbreaks and their zero tolerance for it. So I don't know how much of this train, this high-speed railway system is going to get used right now. But nevertheless, the grand opening is this week from Vientiane, the capital, to Kunming, China. Amazing. And I don't know. I would like to look at that rail and see where the stops are. It would be interesting to see if you could travel up to that northern part of Laos and get off somewhere on the high-speed rail and then maybe take a short ride up to this village. Because if you ever want to do something really just like, I mean, as authentic as you can be or get is if they still have these villages up there. So some of them had to move because they were also building a dam at the time I was up there. And, you know, it was going to create a reservoir. So a lot of these Akha villages, or at least one or two of them, were going to have to move. But if there's still access to them and the tour operators can get you in there, it's absolutely a remarkable, one-of-a-kind experience. I don't know what else to say. When you visit a lot of hill tribes in places like Thailand, they are who they are, but they're not living that same type of life. And who knows how long, you know, these people will be able to keep living this way in their kind of independent way. So it's a really interesting, fascinating adventure to do. And if there was a high-speed rail to get you there a little bit easier, it would be kind of nice. So see if that's a possibility in the future. So Malaysia and Singapore also reopened their land border this week for citizens or long-term residents of either country. And this is one of the busiest land borders in the world, by the way. And they say by mid-December, this may include regular travelers, because now, this last couple of weeks, Malaysia did open up to international travelers, but they have to enter through Langkawi Island. And then, much like the Phuket sandbox scheme in Thailand, they will stay on Langkawi for 7 days. And then once they've passed a negative test or two, then they can travel throughout the rest of the country. And this is, a really great thing to do. And there's so many wonderful places to see in Malaysia if you have the inclination to do it. And I'm not so sure if, you know, maybe some of these places haven't been impacted like some other places in Southeast Asia by the pandemic. But nevertheless, if you've got an inclination or an urge to visit Malaysia, might not be a bad time given the circumstances of late. And you would just have to enter somehow through Langkawi. You can probably transfer through Kuala Lumpur and then fly into Langkawi and then do your 7 day there. That's what's happening. And then everybody else is still pretty much just kind of closed down. We know that Myanmar is going to be just a non-issue for time to come because of the unrest there. And as far as the rest of Southeast Asia goes, I mean, Indonesia is opening up, but a little more restricted than Thailand or Cambodia with a 5 day quarantine. But things are opening up slowly. You know, I still get questions all the time. When will Vietnam open up fully? And I have no idea. Anything I say is just going to be speculation. And that's not necessarily, you know, the best thing to go on. But all I can say is that, you know, the dates I've heard for full opening would be roughly around June 2022. But I see that the government, it's possible that after the Tet holiday or the Lunar New Year holiday, that they could possibly reassess it and go from there. But things have been speeding up a little bit faster than originally was in the plan for the rollout of these openings. Like Phu Quoc was going to be the only place that opened up at first. And now we have like another three or four regions that have opened up. And then, possibly Ho Chi Minh City next month. So anything can happen, but, expect a wide opening maybe mid next year. And then by then, I'm certain that, you know, travel will be starting to get back to its normal state, maybe not there, but starting to get back there with support for a lot of budget travelers, meaning there'll be a lot of hostels and budget hotels open again. And, it will be more easier for them to conduct business than it would be right now, which would then again open up a lot of tourist places like Bangkok, Khao San Road, and Bui Vien Street in Ho Chi Minh City, and all of those types of things that the tourists were used to, that those places, you know, could do business and accept tourists for, will have a chance to reopen. But that could be not until perhaps mid next year. Hopefully at the latest. So as far as Singapore goes, several countries, including US, Canada, Australia, the UK, Switzerland, South Korea, Indonesia, can now enjoy quarantine-free access to Singapore. VTL flights will commence starting December 14th from Thailand and December 16th from Sri Lanka, the Maldives, Cambodia, and Turkey, which again is going to make that transition a lot easier into more wide open travel. I did see somebody complaining about it from Indonesia. I think they were from Jakarta. They're trying to get back to Singapore to see family, and that there wasn't a lot of VTL flights available at the time. So there's still, it's a little bit harder for people to travel because there's still not enough flights available yet. But that will probably change in the coming weeks. So I want to go back to the first time, a couple of months after I, you know, had decided to leave Taiwan and come to Vietnam and make this my base for the next, you know, however long. And here it is 2 years later. And I listened to this segment of a Periscope live broadcast that I had done a couple of years ago in Ho Chi Minh City. And my perspective is just so different. I sound like I really am just kind of feeling my way around the place. And now I'm obviously more accustomed to local culture and local behaviors and where everything is that, you know, the broadcast I would do today would be much different than what I did here. But it's an interesting perspective and observation. This is in April of 2019, just a couple of months after I landed in Saigon in Ho Chi Minh City.
Hey, replay viewers. Welcome to Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City here, Vietnam. It's about 5 p.m. local time as a broadcast here live. That is the central post office. I'm just going to take a walk over to Reunification Palace because next week marks the 44th anniversary of the fall of Saigon. So April 30th, 1975 basically marked the end of the Vietnam War and the North and South reunited. So that's why they call it Reunification Palace and or Independence Palace, and also because it used to be the Presidential Palace. So let's take a little walk around here. Hey, hi, Andrew. How are you? Haven't chatted in a while. Hello, my friend. I'm just getting over a little bit of a stuffiness here from a cold I caught last week, so don't mind me. We're just going to walk down the street here. I am wonderful, thanks. I'm actually much better than a few days ago. Let's take a walk down here. Somebody mentioned I've been doing a lot of these sort of chats with my podcasts on Periscope lately, and somebody was saying, well, are you going to do the walkabouts again? So, let's get out and do a little walk around here. I'm living here now. I've been here 2 months. Whoops. You'd think I'd be used to everything here. I moved here the end of February, and I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's kind of worse being sick somewhere warm. Sometimes it is. The heat does kind of make you feel a little bit better if it was like when you walk outside. I find, you know, it's not as, it just feels a little more comforting, I suppose. I'm enjoying it. It's different. There's always pros and cons to it, but I really am enjoying the change, to be honest with you. I am, because I'd stayed in Taipei, you know, maybe a little bit too long. I was there for 5 years, and, you know, I feel really good about being here, and there are lots of things I'm enjoying. It's always different when you first come to a place, though, right? So far I'm really loving it. I'm really loving the change. I'm really happy that I made the change. No, I don't know Turkish. I can just say hello. Yeah, you're right. It does get taken used to, yeah. They're usually, they correspond with some kind of an event, like either a holiday or some kind of, just a reinforcement of, everybody's on the same page, right? So, more or less, they'll put them up for Tet for New Year and things like that. It's much lower. The cost of living is much lower in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh City. And there's just a lot of things you can do. Like, it's really affordable to order food in all the time. Or not, I was going to say all the time. I like going out. But, there's just a... they seem to be more in line with international banking. You can use your credit card, I think, a little more easily here. Your foreign credit card than in Taiwan. I'm from Canada originally, but I haven't lived there in a few years. I'm from Vancouver. So, the cost of living is lower for sure. There's a lot of pluses. There was a lot of pluses about Taipei, but there's still some things, I got to get used to. There's a lot more Western stuff here, too, I have to tell you. Like, a lot more Western presence with, like, fast food, all different types of things. And a little more, Asian presence, too. There's more, places from Singapore, different places that you wouldn't see in Taiwan and Taipei. At least I never saw them there. Because it's a really big market. It's growing fast. This is a local chain coffee place. They're everywhere. Highlands Coffee. Coffee is absolutely king in Vietnam. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Andrew. Just heading over to the Reunification Palace here because next week, April 30th, marks the 44th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. Do you like coffee? Yeah, I love coffee. I usually just drink my coffee black and hot, but most people here, I think, prefer iced coffee, and typically with the condensed milk in it. Cafe Sua Da. I'm not saying it right, so sorry. I apologize to the Vietnamese that are listening. Israel, you're watching. Very nice. Have you seen any? Yeah, I've seen lots of... excuse me. I've seen lots of war relics. Yeah, there's lots of war relics around here in Ho Chi Minh City. And the palace is closed. We're not going to go inside the palace. We're just going to look out at the outside. Oh, the food has been amazing. I mean, just amazing. I'm loving the food in Vietnam. I mean, it's really becoming one of my favorite cuisines. You know, up there with Indian food and, you know, Malaysian food and Japanese food, Thai food. I actually, to be honest with you, I think that I ate more Japanese food when I lived in Taiwan. Although there is some good... I suppose there's some homeless people here. Yeah, it isn't expensive. I do use motorbike taxis on a regular basis. Yes, I do. Yeah. And they're really inexpensive. This is, we're going to head up this way. This is up towards the Reunification Palace here. Imagine standing where you are now in 1979. Yeah, it would be a lot different for sure, but 1975 is really the year when it all changed, right? But 1979 would have been pretty crazy too. Grab is really popular here. Goviet started, they started last fall, just in Ho Chi Minh City. And they're much cheaper than Grab right now. They're dumping a lot of money. They're giving lots of discounts to get the, the Pol Pot thing in 79. Yeah, when the Vietnamese, they were, the Khmer Rouge was pushing into the Vietnamese border in the south here. Because, you know, a lot of this used to be Cambodia, where I am right now. And in the Mekong Delta, that all used to be Cambodia. So I think they were trying to get it back. And then the Vietnamese army just went in there, stormed in there, and took the Khmer Rouge out, just like that. And then they found the killing fields and all that stuff, and that's when it all ended. It was the Vietnamese that really ended it. Traffic can be a nightmare, yeah. But so Go Viet is a good one. I use that mostly, but Grab I use for, sometimes I use Grab, and I'll use Grab food as well to order. Are there many motorbike accidents, pedestrian accidents crossing streets? Yeah, I think so, but I've seen some guys wipe out on bikes and then just get back up again. But yeah, I think there's a fair amount of them. I mean, there's 8 million motorbikes here. 8 million just in the, you know, this area, this Ho Chi Minh City, greater Ho Chi Minh City area. Killing Fields and Deer Hunter, I've seen them, yes. I met people in Cambodia that had family killed during the Khmer Rouge. This is it here. This is the Independence Palace. Or they also call it Reunification Palace. They like that. Would $65,000 annually give you a reasonable lifestyle? You'd be living like a king here. $65,000 US a year, you'll be living like a king. There it is right there. So it's closed now. I think they close about 4:30. It's 5:15 right now. And this is the iconic site of the fall of Saigon. This is, there used to be the presidential palace. And the tanks came in here on April 30th. I think by noon they got here. It's hot and cloudy in Israel. It's hot and cloudy here. It was really humid and hot yesterday. Felt like 43 Celsius here yesterday. These are the famous gates that the tanks crashed through. And they have the tanks over here, but they're not the original tanks. They're similar. They're like the ones that were used, but not exactly the same ones. And that's it there. So like 44 years ago, next week, the fall of Saigon. So it's a holiday here, I think the 29th, 30th, and the 1st. The 1st is like Labor Day. So they've got a really big, long weekend here. It's 1 in the afternoon in Israel. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I really want to get to the Middle East. Israel is definitely a place high on my list to visit. I met some wonderful... When I go to Nepal a lot, I go to, I'm in Nepal almost every year, sometimes twice a year, and I meet lots of Israelis. Lots of Israelis like to go to Nepal and trek, and they never use a guide. They just go in on their own. They're usually self-guided. But met some really, really nice, friendly Israelis while I've been in Nepal before. Challenging times, though. Okay, so this is these are the gates here. I don't know if they had to, if these are the original ones, or they had to remake them or reforge them. And that is the palace right there. I've been in it many, many times. You can go right up on the roof. You can take pictures inside. They're totally cool with all of that stuff. It's no problem. But there's a coffee shop here. There's another Highlands Coffee here. Yeah, Passover was last week, yeah. I want to have a coffee here and look out at this building. I think it's a beautiful building, actually. And President Ziem was the one that had it commissioned. And then he was executed before he got to use it. So he had this built. This was, I think it was finished in 64, I think. Anyways, he was killed before this thing was finished, so he never got to use it. Iced coffee. I do have iced coffee sometimes. I usually have hot coffee just because that's what I'm used to. But I do like an iced coffee. I usually just have a black. I don't have any sugar in it. I don't have milk in it. I'm not vegan, but I don't drink dairy, like I don't consume dairy products. So, but I found some places that'll put like soy or some kind of non-dairy. And if they do that, then I'll have like the cold coffee, which is really nice. This is on the way to the airport. You keep going down this road, you'll get to the airport eventually. This is the biggest city in Vietnam, and it's the economic center of Vietnam. And it's absolutely on fire right now as far as growth, development, business, everything. One of the reasons why I'm here. Lots of opportunity here for foreigners, the new Irish James. So a very dynamic place to be for sure. Anytime, but especially right now. So let's go over. We'll walk past and I'll show you because they have the flags out in front of the building. I used to have coffee right down below and they closed that coffee shop down. It's right across from the Notre Dame Cathedral. So we'll go take a look at that, and I'll show you where that is if you want to see that. And then I'll sign off here. And hey, anybody that's watching, I'm doing the walkabouts again. I'm trying to do some on Periscope for you, as per request. But I want to do more of the talking ones, and certainly invite you on to chat with me anytime when I have the chat open. And have a look here. What sort of street crossing footwear do you recommend? Oh, just running shoes are fine. Any kind of running shoes. In the wet season, I'm going to pick up some of those kind of, a lot of people wear them in Southeast Asia. Those kind of like, they're like those Crocs, you know? They're kind of like those Croc shoes. Because the problem is that it gets rains a lot here, and it just feels so yuck when you're walking around with wet sneakers and wet socks. And those plastic shoes, they're kind of aerated, and they're just more comfortable because your feet dry faster. But I understand you got to wash your feet, like you got to keep your feet clean because that crap when it rains can get on you from the ground and it's not very good for you. You're going to be following me from now on. Well, cool. I better watch my back. They have lots of government offices here. They're not particularly fussy about you photographing them, but if you're walking by like this, it's usually okay. There's like five coffee shops just right around here. Like, people, this is how people socialize in Vietnam. They meet each other at cafes and coffee shops. It's not bars where, I mean, they might, some people might meet at bars or they go drinking and eating. But this is where most people hang out, is cafes. I would not be surprised if Vietnam has the highest per capita cafes per person in the world.
As always, thank you so much for listening and following the Far East Travels podcast. And it's now hopefully easier than ever to listen to the Far East Travels podcast. If you're on Facebook, you can follow the Far East Travels podcast on its own page on Facebook. And I've made it very podcast friendly, meaning that there's an app button that will take you to, you know, Apple Podcasts or iTunes directly to the Far East Travels page there. So you can listen to all 300 plus episodes from the last 5 years or so. And also, you can actually just listen to the podcast right on the Far East Travels podcast page on Facebook, on mobile for now. And so now more than ever, easier to access the Far East Travels podcast. And of course, feel free to listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And also, you can follow me on YouTube. My channel is John Sabot, and I should be having a new video ready to go in the next few days or so from Nha Trang, Vietnam here, and an update on what's been happening. It's been several weeks since I've been filming, so I have lots of different highlights to share and show with you. And as well, you can follow me, of course, Far East Travels podcast page on Facebook, the Far East Travels page on Facebook and Twitter, Far East_Travels, and John Sabot's Far East Travels on Instagram. Love to get a message from you. I love hearing those happy sounds of happy people traveling again. So thank you so much. And as always, I wish you safe travels. Namaste. Tashi Dalai. And peace from Vietnam.